Hello and welcome to the Amongst Romans podcast, your window to everything Italy from an outsider's perspective. Join us each week as we navigate the Italian way of life and all the adventures that come along with it.
Can you believe it's March already?
I don't believe it. It's a lot colder than I thought it would have been.
You know, it was actually getting warmer. I think February kind of led us into this belief that spring might be coming soon. But judging by the weather last few days, I think that might still be quite some time away.
It's nice temperatures, and then now it's they've dropped back down.
Yeah, it's also been raining a lot, which I think it looks like spring in Italy all over the place means rain, because when I was in Rome and Bologna last week, it was also raining. So I think it's just the spring that Italy has to offer us.
Well, like spring is a good time to plan a trip to Italy.
I agree. And I also think that spring is a good time to visit Italy because despite the rain, it's actually quite nice and it's less crowded, if you can believe that. So if you're planning a trip to Italy, we have a city for you that we think you should add on to your itinerary, and that is Benevento. It is a city that I don't think most people have heard of. I'm talking about like the outsiders, you know, visitors coming from like North America. And I think it's a very underrated city.
Yeah, I think it is pretty underrated, very unknown to people outside of, I guess, you know, the locals, I guess, in Italy. A lot of tourists wouldn't be familiar with it. It's not a coastal town or doesn't have any beaches nearby, but it's a major city out here in Campania.
So if you were coming to Italy and you were considering Benevento is about an hour to maybe an hour and a half inland from Naples. So we're also about an hour from Naples, but Benevento is a bit higher than we are. So you're sort of looking at going inland and a bit further up. I think Benevento seems like it's sort of in the middle of the region and it's a bit higher than we are. So you are surrounded by mountains and Benevento has some really nice views, but Benevento actually is a very old city. So what we learned is that it actually has very interesting history. So when you think about the Romans and all the people that have come here before, you might not think of Benevento as being one of those cities. But as it happened, Benevento was along the Appian Way, which was the main Roman road. And it was quite an important city back in those days.
It dates back to the ancient Samnite tribes. You know, I think it flourished quite a bit under Roman rule. So it's a very ancient city. It earned the moniker of City of Trajan. You know, the legacy of Rome is everywhere in the city, right? Architecture, history, you know, obviously the amazing Arch of Trajan, which is actually standing in the center of the city there. So yeah, it's so much more than just, you know, any old city.
Yeah, and Trajan, for those of you guys who might not be familiar, he was one of the Roman emperors, and he was quite, I guess, influential in this area in those days. So that's why all this legacy going back to Trajan with the arc and the different parts around it. So when you look at places around Italy, and I mean, that is probably one of the things that is such a great thing about Italy to begin with. You have a town that's sort of, you know, in a picturesque area that's got the Roman legacy, but it predates the Romans, which is like even cooler. And you have all these different influences. And then throughout the years, it also played a big role. So Campania was under the Spanish rule for the longest time, the different Bourbon kings that were ruling it. But Benevento wasn't part of that. So Benevento actually fell under one of the papal states, meaning that the Pope was the ruler. So even though it's half an hour from us, it was a little bit of a different setup back in those days. So when you go visit Benevento now, you do see traces of both, right? So there are a lot of churches, there are a lot of Roman sites. And there is actually quite a lot to see for like a town of what, like 40,000 people?
Yeah, there is quite a bit to see. You know, there's obviously the structures left by the Romans. We have the amphitheater. Then there's so many things to see that's actually still being uncovered within the city. So it's actually a really interesting location to visit.
One of my my favorite things about Benevento is that it also has a bit of a mysterious kind of past. There are some legends and there are some intrigues because Benevento is also known as the city of witches. During, I think it was in the 15th to about like 17th century, they were actually persecuting people or mostly women as witches. And it was quite an interesting concept because you don't really think of middle of like of the Italian peninsula as a place where they would be persecuting witches. But that was actually a thing here. So Benevento was, like we said earlier, it was inhabited by the Samnites. There were also some temples here. I think it was Isis, which was a Greek god. Sorry, she was an Egyptian goddess. So again, because the Romans really were into everything that's Egyptian, they brought some obelisk, which you can still see, but they were also trying to build a temple to Isis. When the Lombards came along after the Romans, they were also sort of pagan tribes, right? And they ended up converting to Christianity, but they still did a lot of the rituals. And one of them is kind of gruesome when you think about it, but they used to hang like a hide of a goat, and I assume that's like a carcass of a goat on a tree. It was a walnut tree, right? So they would hang this goat carcass, let's say, and they would draw, like ride around on their horses with lances, and they would just poke at it, which is kind of strange when you think about it today, but I guess it was a thing for them. So somehow over time, the whole idea of them doing these rituals under this walnut tree turned into a place where apparently the witches came to gather under this mythical walnut tree. And they were doing all sorts of mysterious, you know, misdeeds and devil worshipping and such. And I don't even know if this walnut tree is supposed to be like real or not, but that's where the legends come from, which we thought was interesting. And what was it? Around 17th century, it was, as they called, the time of enlightenment. And they decided that these women were actually not worshiping the devil. They were hallucinating because they were mentally ill. I mean, what a strange way of simplifying things.
That's a good introduction to one of my favorite things, Italian liqueurs. Well, actually, Italian botanical liqueurs, which I love. So there is the Strega liqueur that Benevento is very well known for. Strega, which actually means witch in English. So Strega liqueur is actually made of several different herbs. It's actually mint, which is very well known in the region or grown in the area, juniper, cloves, star anise, and white pepper and nutmeg. But the yellow hue actually comes from saffron, which is actually pretty interesting, you know, and it's got a very distinct flavor and actually very strong, but yeah, it's actually pretty tasty. So if you get a chance to try it out, I would definitely get a bottle. You know, it's very well known outside of Italy, of course. You know, you can sell it, you can purchase it at most liquor stores and even online. But some of the other, you know, alcohol or liqueurs that are well known for in the area is actually walnut liqueur, which is, we spoke about the walnut tree and the witches running around it. But that's a very well known liqueur that comes out of Benevento also. And then of course there's the wines, you know, the area is very well known for wine, just in general Campania region, but there's over 140 hectares of vineyards in the area, which, you know, of course make up the variable wine Aglianico and the Falanghina varieties. Of course, Aglianico is the red and Falanghina is the white wine, which is very, you know, not so much on the dry side, a little bit more on the sweeter end, but they're also, you know, a very good wine. Then there's also the cheeses, which is also very well known in the area. It's unripened cheese made from either cow milk or goat milk, and it's almost similar to provolone, but like the sharp provolone cheese, which is really nice. And then of course then there's, you know, always the olive oil, which all of Italy, of course, is known for, but the area does grow quite a bit of olives, and olive oils, you know, exported all over the place from the area.
So how would you drink the Strega? Like, would you just drink it like an after dinner type of thing?
Yeah, it's just chilled, and you just have, a little shot of Strega at the end, and it helps you, of course, to digest your dinner.
That's funny. We have tried the wine, so I have tried the white one. You've tried, obviously, you drink the red, so you've had it. But I don't think I've had the cheese. I'm trying to think what it looks like, but I don't think I've tried it. Do you think it's like something that they export more, or is it like more available in the stores? Because I don't think I've seen it.
I don't think they export a whole lot of it, but I'm sure, more of the boutique cheeses, cheese stores actually carry that sort of cheese, right? Since it's very familiar or very similar to provolone, many people are just used to purchasing provolone and not willing to try other cheeses, but I think this one is actually very good.
I think we have to look for it next time we go to a store. I also would like to look for the walnut liqueur, which I can't really picture what it looks like or what it would taste like, because whenever I think of any kind of nutty liqueurs, the only one I can think of is amaretto, but I don't think walnut will be anything close to it.
Yeah, I'm sure it adds its own distinct flavor. Just like an amaretto kind of tastes like almonds, this, obviously will taste like walnut.
Wow, so if you're into food and you like the li different liqueurs, I think this is a great area to explore. Again, it's a bit unexpected, I would say, because it's not something that, most people would associate like the mountainous region to be like a place where you can get cheese and oil and that kind of stuff. But as we know, because we only live about half an hour away, it's, the whole region is well known for food. So no matter where you are in the region, the food is going to be great. So Benevento actually had quite a big, like quite a large scene for like restaurants and bars when we were there. I think in summertime, it's going to be even nicer with all the patios and stuff being open. So again, it's a very, I think, underrated destination if you're looking for that flavor of history. If you're looking for that flavor of the food sampling, the sort of relaxation and beautiful views, I think Benevento is the place to visit.
The main strip area is actually very walkable. You see lots of locals, people walking down that street with families, visiting bars, cafes, and there's some interesting architecture along the way. Like you notice that there was a few buildings that were Art Deco-ish on that strip, so it's really cool just to see.
Yeah, the Art Deco surprised me. Again, it was unexpected because you don't really expect to see Art Deco in this kind of area. But I would say what I love about Benevento, and that's probably why we went there in the first place, is the Roman stuff, right? So Benevento has, like we mentioned before, a history going back centuries. But what I like the most about it is that it has a very well-preserved Roman theater. So the theater is not the type of theater that they used to have like gladiators fight. It's more of like plays and tragedies, like very much more like a Greek theater as opposed to like the Roman fights that we think of. Now, when we went, it wasn't very busy, which is such a surprise because, again, when it comes to Roman sites, like this was very well preserved. Like, I cannot stress enough how surprised I was by, the state of the theater. And you can even like walk behind it where the tunnels were for the public. You can go on the main stage part. You can walk along where the seats are. And it's really surrounded by like buildings. People like live and look out their window at this ancient theater. So for me, that was a very cool experience. And the guide told us actually that there is an additional theater where the gladiators used to fight. But unfortunately, well, I guess for us, unfortunately, it's still covered. So there is a city on top of it and they can't really excavate it.
I enjoyed seeing that amphitheater. It's actually the acoustics are really awesome. I was actually quite impressed how they were able to set that up in a way where, you can sit all the way back, all the way to the top of the theater and still hear whatever is going on in the middle, right? So it was actually really cool to be able to walk around that and have, basically access to everything.
Yeah, and that whole area is very, I was like, I guess now it's very built upon because there's lots of homes that I guess go back to, let's say, medieval times. So you will find in some parts, like when you walk through, you will find arches. You find some gates, ancient Roman gates that were the gates of the city. But one of my favorite things about Benevento was we saw these, I guess they were sort of maybe medieval, maybe a bit later on buildings. They're now very decrepit. But in the facade, you can tell like around the door frames, there's still busts and reliefs that look very Roman. So I think they took the Roman, whatever it was, and then incorporated or built around it. And to me, that was just fascinating. I really liked it. I loved seeing such architecture, which again, preserves that old Roman and the newer, well, newer to us, you know, the whole medieval part. So unfortunately, some of them, you can buy and restore if you have the money. But if you don't, you can just still walk around and look at them. But also what I loved about it was that we parked right next to the Roman Forum, which I didn't realize what it was. We saw, you know, the ruins, and you could actually walk through them, which is actually pretty cool. So again, there's like little paths. You can walk around the actual forum, which is a way smaller than the one in Rome. But you can still kind of walk through it and see what it was. There is like a gate. There is still, you know, like an arch. It's very distinct. Like you can't miss it. And there's virtually no one else there.
Yeah, I liked seeing that. That was actually really cool. Some of the homes that were renovated actually incorporated, or at least, you know, kept those facades and arches and those statues as part of the reconstruction. So hopefully, you know, whoever purchases those old homes renovate it in the same way.
Yeah, I think they do have some sort of incentives for people to buy and renovate these houses. But, you know, again, I don't think we can do that because they're still quite expensive. You're looking at a big house. It's not just like, you know, two bedroom, whatever. This is probably like 100 square meters and it's quite large. So a lot of it is just the front facade. So there's a lot of restoration and work that has to go in it. But if you had the money and you wanted to do it, that would be an amazing restoration. So in addition to the Roman sites that we've mentioned, there is also, I think there's two obelisks. One is along the piazza, the sort of the main corso when we walked. And there's another one in the Piazza San Sofia. So they're not as huge as the ones you'll see in Rome, which is, you know, that's what I think always when I think of obelisks. They're smaller. They're almost like miniature compared to the ones in Rome. But they are from Egypt. So they are actual real Egyptian obelisks right in Benevento.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting because those obelisks were actually going to be used for a temple that they were planning to build for ISIS. It was dedicated to ISIS. And, you know, they never got around to doing that because I guess there was the inconvenient fall of Rome. But that was actually really interesting that, you know, they were able to bring those over.
So in addition to the Roman past, like I mentioned before, there is that association with the church and the popes. And one of the most interesting church, well, actually there's two, but one of the interesting churches for us is the Benevento Cathedral. So again, it was built a few centuries ago, but there was an earthquake, then it was redone, and it's very modern inside. It doesn't really feel like, you know, the traditional church you think of in Italy. But what the interesting part about it is that during the war, Benevento got bombed and there was a discovery made because of when the bomb fell, it uncovered this, I guess, ruins underneath the church. They discovered settlements going back about 7,000 years. This is Italy. This is a quintessential Italy. Like you can just start digging and be like, oh my God, I found this ancient site. They think it used to be a pagan sanctuary and there are some tombs from that time. It's, again, a discovery that was an accident because of something else that happened. Right now, there's a church on top of it that is very modern inside. You have some elements of the old church structure on the outside. And underneath, you have an archaeological site. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's typical Italy for you. You know, we've actually come across other sites where similar situations occurred. Where, you know, they drop bombs during the war and, you know, they uncover some long lost ancient site underneath, right? The church itself was destroyed and they mostly rebuilt it. Whatever they were salvaged, but it's mostly modern, unfortunately, but it's very interesting to look at. I found that, you know, seeing that site uncovered under the church is actually really cool.
Yeah, and there's another church that's sort of interesting. It's the Church of Santa Sofia. So you have the Church of Santa Sofia, you have the Piazza of Santa Sofia, and there's also a cloister, which I guess is like a monastery of some kind. And the cloister itself has like a really beautiful courtyard.
It's very peaceful with orange trees, and there are porticos, which creates a very peaceful and pretty environment. You don't really think of finding places like this in random towns, but the San Sofia Church has some really interesting frescoes inside that are quite dated. The outside facade of the church has really interesting columns, which look like they could have been part of a Roman temple, and they've been incorporated into the facade, which again, I think is very interesting to see. So in combination with the Gothic interior and the fresco and the outdoor columns, it's a very cool church.
And then, of course, there's the castle in Benevento called Rocca dei Rettori, which is actually a government building now, but still something you'd want to take a look at and see.
So there's also a few museums in Benevento, and part of the Sannio Museum is in this government building. So the Sannio Museum is a great place to learn about the history of Benevento. They have a lot of different artifacts and treasures from the past. So it covers different stages of, you know, the different time periods, which is really quite interesting to see. Then we have the Museum of Witches, which is also quite interesting. And that one is in a very nice building. So if you go to the Museum of Witches, it looks like a palazzo on the outside. And then you go inside and there is like a very nice courtyard. There's like a cafe bar. You can have a drink, and there's like a patio, which is really nice. So the Museum of Witches, we didn't have a chance to go see the last time, but it looked like it was pretty busy, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was lineups, you know, waiting to get in. I think it was a guided tours that they were waiting to do. There was also actually a little gift shop that had all a bunch of weird witch trinkets, and of course you can buy the, you know, the liqueur, the Strega liqueur in there.
Yeah, that's a definitely, we have to go back to check that out. So again, in addition to that museum, there is this, they have this an open art museum. It's called Hortus Conclusus Palladino, I think. And it's basically just like different sculptures, and there's some remnants of columns. It's kind of like a park, and it's kind of nice to see. If you're visiting Benevento during summertime and it's hot, that's really a nice spot to stop and relax. But another museum, which I think is great, is the Arcos. And here you'll find a huge Egyptian section. So again, between the Sannio Museum and the Arcos, you have a really great selection of really ancient artifacts, both from Rome and from like the Egyptian, which again, Romans were obsessed with Egyptian everything. So it's not surprising to actually see that.
All right. So how do you get to Benevento? There's a few options, right? Obviously, there is the driving option, depending where you're from or where you're staying. There's, if you're staying in Naples, it's about an hour to an hour and a half. There's also a bus you can take over from Naples to Caserta and then make your way to Benevento. On your way from Caserta, you can actually visit the historic Santa Agata winery, which is, you know, actually pretty interesting. The Goti cellar is actually 52 feet underground, so it's actually a really interesting place to visit.
I would recommend staying in Benevento maybe for two and a half days. So if you were coming from Naples to Benevento, I would say you can do the wine tour and then make your way to Benevento. Or you can come to Benevento and just drive over for the wine tour. So you get here on day one, you can check out the museums, you can check out the Roman theater, the churches, have something to eat and just enjoy the town. The next day you can do like a spa, because we forgot to mention, but the area is also known for spas. And you can have a day of relaxation and end up with a wine tour. So again, it's a great destination if you are exploring Campania, or if you just want to come for, you know, check out a different town from Naples and then go back.
I really enjoyed visiting Benevento, you know, aside from the awesome views and being able to see all the historic monuments and sites. It's actually really relaxing. You know, we went up and down the strip a couple times and visited some cafes and bars. So it's actually a great place to just sit down, relax, have something to eat or drink, and just people watch.
I would agree. So again, it's a great place to come because it's not overrun with tourists. If you're coming to Italy and you want to go to a place that not everybody goes to, I can guarantee you that if you say, I went to Benevento, your friends and family would say, where? Unless they are from Italy, they might know it. Otherwise, people don't know it, because even I've mentioned it to my friends, or I've been traveling and I just get a blank stare. People don't know where Benevento is. And considering it's such a historically important town, you would think there will be a lot more interest. But then again, this is Italy. So there's so many small little towns and picturesque villages that are so easy to explore that people probably won't even make it here. If you're coming to Campania, you can definitely go for a road trip. We are fans of driving around, not just Campania, but Italy in itself, because we just love road trips. So again, Benevento is about an hour and a half from Naples. If you fly into Naples, you can hang out there, check out that area, then make your way to Benevento. And from Benevento, you can always go north, you can go south, you can take the road all the way to Puglia, you can go up north, you can go to Abruzzo on the other side of Italy. And it's a great place. Again, it's in the mountains, it's got great views, it's got great spas, great food, and great history. Like, what's not to love?
Yeah, it's a great central spot, and I think it's severely underrated. So I'm hoping, you know, our listeners will be able to visit and enjoy what we were able to enjoy.
And we'll leave more information for you guys in the show notes, so make sure you check them out. And make sure you add Benevento to your next Italian itinerary.
And this brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review on whatever you're listening right now. We'll be back next week, so stay tuned.